Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Was on astronaut Neil Armstrong, who was on Apollo 11 on July 21st, 1969, as he spoke words that will live in human history. I watched a repeat of that over the weekend. Frankly, I'll be honest with you, I'm a sentimental guy. And I found myself choking up watching Neil Armstrong, looking at Houston, looking at the men in the Houston Space Center, looking at the intensity of the men in the human men inside the Space Center, listening to them, watching them, and realize that was the height of America's prominence in the world. And look how far we've come, I thought last night, from Apollo 11 to Apocalypse Now under Barack Hussein Obama. I could not believe how far we have fallen from a nation that led the world in such travels to a nation that elected its first communist president, who gutted NASA, killed the program that takes people to the moon. I don't know how many different ways I have to tell you what an unmitigated disaster Barack Obama has been for the United States in the 3.5 years of his phony reign. What is astonishing to me is what a bad job Mitt Romney is doing in articulating the danger this man has put us in. That's right. You heard me. Oh, I'm going to vote for Romney and Ryan because they're an alternative to the communist regime that we have in the White House. I use the words very carefully. You see, I'm an educated man. I'm a student of history. I've written many best-selling books, many of them you know. The fact of the matter is, I'm entitled to tell you what I think is going on. This is one of the greatest scams in the history of America itself. How a naked Marxist could be elected to the presidency, surrounded by some of the richest and most powerful people on earth, and get away with his socialist/communist policies without such notice is astounding to me. But we go back to Neil Armstrong landing on the moon. I watched it, and I didn't weep, but I was choking up. Actually, I just came back from my boat ride. I go out on Sunday, and I was lying on the sofa watching TV. I don't know what movie it was. It was a replay. This man was one of the greatest of Americans. Every American school student should be required to watch the footage of Neil Armstrong landing on the moon and the words he spoke, the words he spoke, the words that Nixon spoke, and the pictures of the men inside the Houston Space Center who put him on the moon. All those incredible technological geniuses inside the Houston Space Center. And now compare it to the America of today. Compare it to what we have descended to. Let this be the perigee of America. When we finally throw the Chicago gang out of the White House come November, let every American know that we finally went to the perigee of our existence. Certainly not the apogee of our existence. It's the perigee of our existence. But that brings us to the Republican National Convention. I myself am not there. I wouldn't go there even if I had been invited, and I was invited to broadcast from my affiliate in Tampa. God bless him. But I personally, I don't care about conventions. I've told you for weeks now, I have raged against these conventions. R&D. Hundreds of millions of dollars spent for a party for apparatchiks to throw balloons in the air and to use prostitutes on whatever. We don't have to spell it out. With the invention of the telephone, there was no longer a need for a convention. You see, political conventions were originally established so that the men who ran America could come in on a horse and throw their vote behind the candidate or nominate the candidate. In the invention of the telephone, there was no need for it. It's astounding to me how we just can't change. No, I wouldn't really want to be there. I myself would rather spend 2 weeks cruising Opa-Locka in a 78 sedan, dragging a tailpipe which is shooting sparks, listening to 8 tracks of Mantovani music, even swigging Lest Oil from the bottle and sniffing furniture polish than spend a minute at any political convention. But then again, I'm not your normal talk show host. I'm just another American who's seen what's going on and is worried about what's going on. If you'd like to comment on any of these topics, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. At the bottom of the hour, we have a guest who I'm very proud to have on. I have very few guests on the show because I don't think you tune in to hear my guests. You tune in to hear Michael Savage, the wit and wisdom of Michael Savage. We have the editorial page editor of the Washington Times, Brett M. Decker. He's got an amazing curriculum vitae, and you'll learn more about it later on. But he is going to tell us what needs to happen at the GOP convention in order to push Mitt over the top. Because if they keep up by pushing the wife and talking about cufflinks and laundry, they're finished. They're toast. Unless the people who voted for Obama, who are now pretending to work for Romney, are pushed out of the way, and unless Romney pushes forward some real ideas, frankly, I'm very pessimistic. Extremely pessimistic. This was the Republicans' election to lose, and lose they may because of the tepid nature of this campaign. You hear me? Did you hear what I just said? The tepid nature of the Republican campaign is just liable to see us with the second regime, the second term of this communist regime. It was the Republicans to lose, and lose it they may. This is the Savage Nation. If you care to join the conversation, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. My website has all these stories in a way at michaelsavage.com. And as I say, no, I'm not at the convention. I'd rather spend 14 days cruising Opa-Locka in a 78 sedan, tailpipe dragging sparks, listening to 8 tracks of Mantovani, even swigging Lest Oil from the bottle and sniffing furniture polish, than listening to one more speech from one more politician. But then again, I'm not your ordinary Fox News broadcaster. I'm Michael Savage. I'm Michael Savage. What would you like to talk about? Huh? New York, WOR, Jeff, you lead the hour. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I'm glad that you opened by discussing Neil Armstrong. I'm calling you at 6:14 Eastern Time, and as far as I know, your president has not asked for the flags to be lowered in this country in Neil Armstrong's memory.
He's the same president who threw out the bust of Winston Churchill. He, of course, is embarrassed by great men because he knows he can't keep up to their image. Why do you think that the man disrespected Winston Churchill and Neil Armstrong? It's because he knows he's a fraud compared to them.
Exactly. It's not surprising. It's disgusting that I have to sit here.
Well, you don't even have to say disgusting. He has very deep psychological problems. Obama is a narcissist because he's got a massive insecurity complex. He knows that he shouldn't even try to compete with Winston Churchill on the political sphere, and as a man goes, the bravery, the daring, the genius of Neil Armstrong, forget about it. The people are liable to say, wait a minute, who's Neil Armstrong? You mean we once dominated space? Well, why did Obama eliminate NASA's mission to the moon? They're liable to ask that question.
Well, Neil Armstrong asked that question last year before Congress. And my bet is, because he spoke out against what Obama is doing, that's probably why the snub.
Well, that's right. When you're that narcissistic and you can't take any criticism, there's only one place for you, and that's either in Hollywood or in Washington. Yes, it's a great day to remember Neil Armstrong. And frankly, if I were the czar of education, I'd make certain that every American student watched the movie tape, the videotape, whatever they were using. There was no video then. I guess it was, well, it was video, of Neil Armstrong and his crew landing on the moon. And especially the words he spoke, which were amazing, and the faces of the men in Houston, in the Houston Space Center. That's worth watching to see the intensity of the men inside the Houston Space Center. And guess what? Shockingly, they were smoking cigarettes in a workplace. That's right. They were allowed to smoke cigarettes in a workplace while they were intensely landing astronauts on the moon. They didn't have to look over their shoulder at big sis, or little men. I'll be right back. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We're talking about, of course, the election, politics, why Obama is so insecure that he wouldn't call for a national day of mourning or the flags at half staff for the death of Neil Armstrong, one of America's greatest heroes. We know why, because Obama can't compete with him on any level. Moreover, people are liable to ask, wait a minute, if Neil Armstrong was so great in that he had the guts and the brains to land on the moon, why did Obama destroy NASA? Why did he end the space program? So you can't have those embarrassing questions in an unfree society. The most important thing to remember is that you're not in a free society. You're in a mini police state and an unfree society where embarrassing questions are not permitted. Here's a news story, since I have to do news every once in a while. It came out a few minutes ago. Future San Francisco Archbishop, future SF Archbishop arrested for DUI in San Diego. Oh, no, just what the Catholic Church needed. Bishop Salvatore Cordiglione speaks during a press conference, and he was due to take the reins of the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of San Francisco, was arrested early Saturday morning on suspicion of drunken driving, according to the San Diego Police Department. Well, maybe it was sacramental wine. I don't know if that gets you off. Maybe I should put out Savage's sacramental wine in a bottle. I mean, if he gets off because it's sacramental wine, think about that. I could make another fortune selling Savage's sacramental wine. You can carry it around. You can drink it and say you were performing a sacrament. You know, that's how that would work on the way to Sacramento. You need to perform a sacrament. Actually, you need to perform something more than a sacrament on the way to Sacramento these days under Jerry Brown. You need to perform a levitation. Future SF Archbishop arrested for DUI. Oh, God, just what they needed. You know, it's interesting. You say Archbishop, it's a big position, right? But you look at it, and you see that the Archdiocese of San Francisco oversees more than 500,000 Catholics in San Francisco, Marin County, and the Peninsula. I have a bigger audience than that every 15 minutes, I think. Do you realize that? Do you have any idea that talk show hosts are more influential than archbishops? So you could say I'm an archbishop of talk radio. No, I'm a little bit of giddy, you know. I have a tiny bit of a giddy mood going. It's Monday. I'm not on vacation. My whole family's away. They're in the Mediterranean. Would you believe it? You know why I didn't go? At the end of the day, you know why I didn't go? For you. You're not going to believe me. I say I don't like traveling. It's true. I this and that. It's all true. But that's not the reason I didn't go. You know why I didn't go? Because I knew you wanted me here this week for the Republican Ninny Convention. You needed me here for the Republican Ninny Convention. Even if I'm going to be a little sarcastic toward the ninnies at the Republican Ninny Convention, it's better than me not being here. God forbid a fill-in comes into the show. God in heaven, I wouldn't do that to you again. 1-800-449-8255. Are you awake out there? Do you realize what's going on? Do you have any idea who's running this country into the ground? All right, I'll wake you up a little bit. An interesting article appeared today in The American Thinker by Andrew Bostom. And it turns out, I'm going to give you my headline, Muslims in Afghanistan are torturing dogs, beating children in Afghanistan. And the disgust of our American boys is so profound as they watch them mistreating dogs, women, and children that they're saying to these so-called troops from Afghanistan, cut it out. They're watching them torture dogs and puppies while being based with such animals as they are in Afghanistan. They don't stop the animals from beating up dogs because the animals in Afghanistan do not condone the torture per se, but they don't see any importance in such behaviors, given the standing of dogs in Islam. You see, according to Muslims, dogs are seen as vermin. That's right. And anyone who intervenes in animal abuse, such as our incredible, clean-cut, heroic boys in Afghanistan, are told to drop dead by the back shooters in Afghanistan. And while your commander-in-chief is raising money and partying with Hollywood degenerates, our boys are being shot in the back by these 15th century throwbacks. That's right, but you don't want to hear any of this. So they complain about the sexual abuse of children that they're seeing. Numerous accounts of Canadian troops in Kandahar complaining about the rampant sexual abuse of little children, the raping and sodomizing of little boys by our fellow troops over there in Afghanistan, the slavery of women in Afghan society, and the repugnancy of such behavior. And they don't want to befriend these Afghanis since they consider them to be not worthy of friendship. And what happened? They get shot in the back. But it's even worse what comes now. The general over there, General Allen, is covering up the torturing of dogs, the raping of little children, the beating of children by Muslim soldiers, and he's saying that our soldiers are being shot for other reasons. General Allen should be thrown out of the U.S. military, along with the other frauds that have taken over the U.S. military, who are no longer representing our troops. They're representing the Politburo, the Politburo called Obama's Democrat machine.
Savage.
So we've had a good half an hour on the Savage Nation, and we're going to have a better one now because I rarely have guests on the show, but now I have a guest on the show because he's worth having as a guest on the show. He's the editorial page editor for the Washington Times, was an editorial page writer and editor for the Wall Street Journal in Hong Kong. So many incredible pieces of his curriculum vitae that I can't share with you. Joining us right now to talk about what the Republicans need to do at the convention in order to win the election is Brett M. Decker. Mr. Decker, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, great to be on your show again. I don't know about you. Everyone's worried about this tropical storm in the Gulf, but I think we could use a hurricane up here in Washington to clean out some of the mess up here.
I agree with you.
I think if that wind just hits up north, everyone will be happy.
Brett, let me ask you something. You know, I'm going to vote for Romney Ryan because it's the alternative to the disaster called Obama, from my point of view. Why is Romney running such a cautious middle-of-the-road campaign? Doesn't he understand it's not working?
You know, it's a great question, and I think part of it is he learned the wrong lesson from the primary. You know, during the primary, I'm like, I kept watching, and he kept sitting back and was playing safe, and it worked. You know, he let everyone else have their little day in the sun, and then they faded. And right. I think his campaign operative saw that it worked. They look at the economy, and right, historically speaking, an incumbent should never get reelected with unemployment where it is, job growth, job growth nowhere. So I think they're looking and saying the economy stinks. We should win. Let's play the same game we played in the primary and hope it gets there.
Well, we both know that he's taking a beating. The Obama campaign is ruthless.
Yeah.
Obama's brain, Axelrod, is brilliant and a ruthless, brilliant man. He's beating Romney to death, and Romney's not fighting back. And what the problem is that people are saying, how can he be a president if he's not willing to fight back against the candidate when he may have to face bigger challenges than Obama if he becomes president.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, he'll get a little boost out of the convention and come out swinging. But that's definitely a problem. I mean, I go nuts when they start saying he needs to show his tax records when we have the least transparent president in history in the White House. I mean, we don't know where the guy is born. You know, there's all this talk about what's in his college transcripts, where he went to college.
Yes.
And Romney, anytime anyone brings up taxes, should be like, look, let's see this guy's college record.
Yeah, I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Exactly.
Let the president show his college transcripts. How did he get into Columbia? How did he get into Harvard? Was he a foreign exchange student, as some people are saying, and that's why he's hiding them? Were his grades sufficient to go to Harvard? There are many questions that need to be answered about a man who wants to be president for a second term. I agree with you.
I mean, you look at his books, and he talks about when he was at Occidental, all he was doing is smoking pot and, you know, using cool terms like do and blow. Well, then how did he get into Columbia, like you said? You know, I think some things are going on.
Well, wait, I think there I'd have to disagree with you, because those those acts of doing blow and smoking pot are, in fact, required in order to get into Columbia.
He got an A for drug use. So
he got an A for American studies.
You know, I think some things are starting to go Romney's way, though. If you just look at the polls starting to shift a little bit, he's ahead in Florida and Wisconsin of all places after picking Paul Ryan, and he's tied in the swing states of Virginia, Ohio, and there's a new poll out today. It has it a toss up in Michigan, which Obama won by 16.5 points last time. So. You know, Wisconsin, Obama won by 14 last time. So, I mean, the media is focusing on what Romney's not doing. But if you look at this huge slide that Obama's had, you know, I think it's what Romney needs to take advantage of.
So let me ask you this. This is an interesting question to me. Why did the normal Democrat voting seniors in Florida suddenly warm up to Romney Ryan? What is it?
Maybe it's weather. I don't know. I think everyone looks at, you know, the problem with the seniors in Florida is they usually just look at their government goodies, and if anybody threatens it at all,
yes, right,
you know, they just freak out. But I think in this case, the state of the nation is so bad that you have people almost living outside of their own position, and who knows, maybe these people have their kids living in their basement or their grandkids living in their basement, and they're like, look, I kind of miss the empty nest a little bit.
I don't know the answer. Is it that they're afraid that Obama's Obamacare will take away some of the benefits that they've gotten used to, and they feel Romney will give it back, you know, give it back to them?
Well, you know, and the other thing in Florida, I mean, in this bad economy, property values have taken a huge hit, and that's a big investment in Florida. And I think a lot of people probably have seen, you know, their net worth decline a lot. And you know, seniors live off of what they have already put away, you know, in stock proceeds. So if you look at the battering the economy's had, I think they're worried about their sunset years going the wrong way, and I think just everybody's hurting now. You know, independents, which everyone talks about, you need to get the middle. Romney's up 11 points with independents now. So I think part of it, there's this sort of media mischaracterizing where the race is. And I think,
you know, you wrote an interesting book in 2011 entitled Bowing to Beijing, which is right up my alley. I've called for tariffs to be put upon Chinese goods. Trump did so as well. What is this about China, and why are the Republicans so silent on it?
Yeah, I think the easy question is people don't say anything about China because you have to follow the money. And, you know, people get campaign donations from companies and interest groups that have investments in China, and that just kind of that gags everybody. But, you know, more people are talking about it. You know, for about 20 years, you had basically Pat Buchanan and one or two other people talking about our manufacturing base.
Right.
Phyllis Schlafly always has, but now with,
yes,
you know, you have Trump out there, you have Santorum, who's kind of resurgent again. He has a really prominent place in the convention, and
oh God,
the RNC is giving him a spotlight. But you have,
oh no,
I mean, yeah, I mean, whatever you have is you have people talking about, look, this myth that we can just be a service economy and still be a superpower. You know, if we're a serious country, at some point we have to start making things again.
Mr. Decker, I want to thank you, by the way, for your incredible review on May 31st of my book, Trickle Down Tyranny, because you started by saying critics on the left and right jumped to criticize Michael Savage for being too extreme in his political sentiments. And then, you know, your writing was pretty good. And
yeah,
what you were saying
is, I loved your book. And, you know, part of our problem, and, you know, I'm guilty of this sometimes too, and my staff, is, you know, the other side gets in line. And too much on the right, we're shooting arrows at our own guys. So when it comes to, you know, fighting the enemy, we have too many self-inflicted wounds to put our best foot forward. So, you know, you look at all the people that beat you up on occasion, and especially on the right, it's like, what, are you getting, you know, a free medal with you know, the media for this kind of thing? So, you know, I think we got to stick by our own, and you know,
well, thank you for stepping out of
book,
no, thank you. Well, you stepped out of the army of those who think that I'm beyond the pale, but the fact of the matter is, I would say I'm one of the leaders of the independent movement in this country. I would have to take credit for it, because I declared myself an independent 15 years ago, long before it became sort of cool to say you're not a Republican and say you're an independent. But having put all that aside, I'm very worried about the Republicans right now, because they're playing it too safe, in my opinion. Do you feel that they really can win it?
I mean, I think we can. And sometimes, you know, and that's not necessarily a compliment. Sometimes when the economy is so bad and you have a horrible candidate, you know, sometimes almost anyone can win, and I think a lot of Americans are in this, you know, anybody but, you know, Clint Eastwood, when he endorsed Romney, he said, anybody but Obama, and I think I think a lot of people are getting there.
Well, I hear that increasingly from people who are social liberals on virtually every issue, gay marriage, abortion, you name it. They're disgusted with this man's fiscal disasters, meaning Obama's fiscal ineptitude, let's put it that way.
You know, Romney's slated to speak on Thursday at about the time that our national debt hit $16 trillion. So, you know, our debt is bigger than our economy now. And even if people don't crunch the numbers like that, I think in general people have, like, this fear that we're looking into the abyss. And even if it's intangible, I think that can motivate people to vote for change again this time.
Do you know that the federal government has put out an announcement that said, given that too few Americans are turning to government for assistance, they want to make sure that more know about benefits that could help you? Can you believe this?
I mean, you can't make up this stuff. You know, it's like when Clinton's HHS secretary and some of his other appointees say that food stamps contribute to economic growth. It's like,
yeah.
How can you say that more people getting government handouts is a sign of the economy going in the right direction? I mean, at a certain point, they're speaking a different language than we are, and it's hard to even counter that kind of nonsense.
Well, I think that's absolutely something that most Americans are familiar with, who have to balance a checkbook on a daily basis. The government doesn't seem to understand that there's such a thing as a checkbook to be balanced. Brett Decker, love your newspaper, editorial page editor of the Washington Times. Thank you very much for taking time to be with us on the Savage Nation.
Boy, great to be on. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Yeah, his book is called Bowing to Beijing, published by Regnery in 2011. So here we are, all alone, home alone on the Savage Nation. So let me ask my audience a very straightforward question. What do you think Romney needs to do to win the election? What do you think Romney needs to say during the convention to bring in the independents who are flip-flopping? What do you think Romney needs to say about Obama in bullet points in order to win the election? I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I'm the author of Trickle Down Tyranny and your host. Oh, I just went on my website. That's what happens every time you do. And the question is, what does Romney need to do, in your opinion, to finally move out ahead and win the election? Because we know he's not ahead. We know that they're running kind of neck and neck. The big fear that I have is that the core base, the conservative base, will not come out in great numbers to vote for a mediocre candidate like Romney. It's as simple as that. I don't know how else to put it. They may not dislike Obama enough. Let's put it this way. They dislike Obama enough, but they don't like Romney enough to come out and vote for him. That's the way I'm seeing it. If you were to ask me what the problem is that Romney is too wimpy. Romney's just limp-wristed. Romney's playing it too safe. And the conservative base wants, frankly, a more vociferous campaign. They want someone to rip into Obama and say it like it is, in plain English. He's kowtowing to him. And they don't want to come out and vote for a wimp. That's my opinion. What's your opinion? New York, WOR, Chris, what does Romney need to do to win? What's your opinion?
Michael, he has to attack. But the key is he can't attack on Obama's past. That didn't work 4 years ago, and it won't work now.
You're 100% right. No one cares about his birth certificate nor where he went to school at the end of the day.
Absolutely, they really don't. Now, I have a nephew that saw the movie over the weekend, and I was astounded. Now, the movie, if they traced it to Republicans, that movie, it wouldn't work. But I have heard people say they saw it, and they actually absolutely loved the movie, and probably in bigger numbers than most people suspect. But if Romney simply tells the truth, which I don't view as an attack, he's got plenty of material to work with, and it can work.
Okay, so that leads us to the next question. What does he need to attack Obama about?
Oh, my goodness. The laundry list is incredible. And also, one other thing, like, I think the conservatives will come out and vote for Romney, because while they may not be wild about him, I think just like you and I think they see the danger that Obama represents. It scares me to death what he's going to do in the second term.
Well, he's already said what he'll do. He told us he signaled his punches nine months ago. He said, when I'm reelected. He was going to reward Russia. Remember that with Medvedev?
Absolutely. Oh my goodness, do I remember that? And the thing that gets me is,
so you know, you don't have to be an Einstein to know what he's done. Poverty is rewarded, success is punished. Our worst enemies, like the radical Islamists, are treated like friends, while our friends, like Israel, are stiffed. He uses the military as a pawn. Listen to what he did to the Navy SEALs. Our borders have descended into chaos. Corporations and cronies that give him money make off with all the wealth. I mean, just stick to those themes as spelled out in trickle-down tyranny, and Romney would win. They're not even radical statements.
American voter or conservatives are smart enough to realize that it's not an attack, no matter how much the liberals would scream about it. I think they would recognize that as the truth. I trust them enough with that.
Okay, I hope so. Two more U.S. troops killed by an Afghan soldier shot in the back. It's going on every day. And again, I want to reiterate, one of the underlying problems between the U.S. troops and the throwbacks in Afghanistan is the fact that they are torturing dogs and puppies. They're beating children. They're raping children in Afghanistan. And our clean-cut American boys are sickened by it. And they're telling them that they're repulsive. They have bad morale. They're lazy. They have repulsive hygiene. They torture dogs. They have cruelty towards women and children. And our boys are saying that. They're saying it to the Afghanis. They're saying it to their higher-ups. And guess what's happening? They're getting shot in the back for it. But you don't want to hear any of that. You want to hear, what do you want to hear? I know. I guess my job is to tell you what I want you to hear. That's all. And if you don't like it, you could turn the show. You know, yesterday, again, I want to go back to Neil Armstrong for a minute. I watched, I don't know what the movie was, but it was so stirring. I caught it by accident toward the end of the day with actual footage of Armstrong landing on the moon in Apollo 11 on July 21, 1969. Frankly, I was too young to even understand the importance of it. Do you know that? I look back. How old was I? I don't even remember. I was in my 20s. And I really didn't, I mean, I kind of liked it that we were the number one country in the world in space, exploration. I was proud to be an American. I had no idea that would be the zenith of us as a nation. I had no idea that from that point on, it's been all downhill, hoping that this is the perigee under Obama and that we bounce back when we put a real American in the White House. I hope so. I truly hope so. But when you think how we've gone from Apollo 11 to Apocalypse Now under Obama, it's actually frightening. But listen to what Neil Armstrong actually said. A few small steps for man and a few giant steps for mankind. What did he say? The words were amazing. I don't know if he thought them up or he had written them in advance. I don't even care how he did it. Let's listen to it again.
Okay, Neil, we can see you coming down the ladder now. I'm at the foot of the ladder. The lamb footbeds are only depressed in the surface about 1 or 2 inches. I'm going to step off the lamb now. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Unbelievable. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. That's a giant of a man, and he died, you know, the other day. He died the other day, and every American student should be required to understand the genius, the guts of the astronauts, especially Neil Armstrong, what a pioneer he was. And when you think about it, and it's all in your lifetime these things have occurred, to think that we wound up on the moon with men like him. But you have to go back and look at the men inside Houston Space Center. And you have to take a look at their faces and their intensity. And they all looked like they were U.S. Marines in their intensity and commitment to the job. You know, there was no EEOC in those days. You know, there was no ADA in those days. You understand that they just hired the best and the brightest they could get. They didn't pay attention to sexual orientation, race, gender, and things of that nature. They hired the brightest engineers they could find. They didn't try to make it look like a coloring book for a publisher to try and show how PC they are. And we wound up on the moon. Now look where we are today as a result of the insanity of trying to paint by colors, so to speak.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Working about 7 months out of the year to pay for the fat bureaucrats in your city, in your state, and in your federal government. Now, those are considered revolutionary words in America today. I could be arrested for saying it, but let me repeat it. You're working about 7 months a year so that the fat bureaucrats in your local town, city, state, and federal government can have nice, fat retirement funds, nice fat vacations, and many, many visits to the doctor at your expense. Welcome to America under Barack Obama. Now, whether Romney will change that, should he be elected, and I hope he is elected, is really the question. I don't know whether many people understand this, but psychologically, I would guess that the reason Romney has not surged, you know, why it's neck and neck and this and that, given that Obama's such a disaster as a president and so disliked, and given that Obama has made so many mistakes, given that Obama's the most divisive president in American history, and given all the questions swirling around Obama all the time, why is Romney not surging? And I'm sad to tell you it's because I don't think conservatives trust Romney totally. They don't completely trust Romney. They're afraid that Mitt is really a a social liberal, being that he's from Massachusetts, and his background would indicate that he's a social liberal. And they would say, all right, I'll put that aside if. Well, what's the if? If he's a fiscal conservative? Is Romney a fiscal conservative? I don't know. Well, I put that aside if Romney would be strong in the military. Is Romney strong in the military? Well, I don't know. Well, I'll put all that aside if what? If Romney would be willing to restore America's preeminence in space exploration. Is he? Did he say anything about restoring funds to NASA? We don't know who Romney is. At the end of the day, we don't know who Mitt Romney is, other than a lifetime politician who's wanted to be a president. And that's his problem. That's his problem. We have the most divisive, incompetent president in American history, the most disliked president in American history by a large number of Americans, probably by a plurality of people. Don't like Obama. They don't trust him. They don't like his imperiousness. They don't like his disconnectedness. They don't like the trips he and his wife have taken all of these years. They don't like him kowtowing to dictators and spitting in the face of our allies. They don't like many things that Obama's done, so it should have been easy for the Republicans to elect someone who was by now ahead 5-10 points, but he isn't. And the reason he isn't is because we don't know whether we can trust Mitt Romney to be even a moderate conservative. Let's put it to you that way. So let me ask you, the Savage Nation, since this is the third largest radio show in America and I have more of an audience than the Archbishop does, I have a larger audience than any Archbishop in America does, so you have to remember that. And I'm giving you only one man's opinion, as an Archbishop does. Now, he quotes the Bible. I can't say I quote the Bible for my opinions. I quote the books I've written and my own common sense and my own life experiences. But it's still, at the end of the day, is one man's opinion. And so given that it's only one man's opinion, my opinion, that counts on this show, my opinion is that I need you to call this show and tell the millions of people who may be listening over the course of the next hour or so what it is Romney needs to say or do between now and the end of this convention, moreover between now and the end of the campaign, in order to get him over the finish line ahead of Obama. What is it? Tell me what he needs to do. So let's begin with some of the callers. We have great callers today, as usual, on the Savage Nation. Let's start in Albany, New York. Ralph, welcome to the program.
Michael, I've listened to you for years. You're the greatest. One quick comment on your last caller, Chris. He was right. We should forget about where Obama lived before. It's where he lives now that is our problem. But with respect to your question about what Romney ought to do, there's a number of things. The administration is doing things which the media will not cover. For example, they're arresting veterans and putting them into mental institutions for things like cleaning their guns on their back porch. In Virginia, 20 to 30 SWAT team guys, I understand, surrounded a house because a neighbor called about a vet from Iraq who was cleaning his gun on the back porch while he was sitting there with his wife. He was
How about the 23-year-old Marina was arrested last week and thrown in a mental hospital a la the Soviet Union because of anti-government statements he made on his own Facebook page, and none of them were threatening. They were just filled with contempt for the government.
Exactly. And, Michael, the kids in grammar school are being taught that it is a crime to talk about President Obama or say anything bad about him. And we're all at risk here. And the fact is that some of these, I understand there's been over 20 of these arrests, and that some of these people are unaccounted for who have been arrested. Incredible. That's what Romney ought to be doing, talking about this kind of stuff. Get some guts and tell him exactly what this guy has been doing and what he's done to this nation and what he will do if he's reelected. What he'll do with taxes is incredible.
Well, what will he do? Has he said anything about what he will do with taxes?
Well, if you make over $250,000 a year, you're going to pay 40% more right off the bat.
We know Obama is punitive towards the successful because he resents them unless they give him money like Harvey Weinstein or Matzenberg in L.A.
If you make $100,000 a year, Michael, if you make $100,000 a year, you're only going to get a portion. You're going to wipe out the sales tax deduction on your income.
Wait! I want to know what Hold it. Does anyone know what Romney said he'll do about income taxes?
Oh, I misunderstood you. No, I know what Obama's going to do. I don't. That's your right.
See, you just answered my question. We don't even know what the so-called fiscal conservative Mitt Romney will do with regard to federal income taxes. We have no idea. This is the worst campaign I've ever seen in my life. the most invisible. It's unbelievable to me that the people are letting Romney get away with this. And if he doesn't change course at the convention, he's going to lose. That's what I fear. How's that?
He's gone, Michael. You know, that's terrible.
Yeah, that's right. And we lose. If we lose this election, you may as well kiss the USA goodbye. That's how I see it. Oh, it'll still be here, but it will not be what it is. It will be a shell of its former self. What Obama has done to so many proud agencies like NASA, he will gut everything that gives us our pride. Everything that gives us our advantage will be gutted by the next iteration of this regime. Okay? What do you think Romney needs to say or do? I'd like to know. That's all I'm asking you. It's really simple. Texas, Gregory, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, sir. People in this country are chomping at the bit. They wish it was tomorrow we went to vote. We all know who this man is. We didn't know 4 years ago. The people of this country hate what he's doing in this country. And do you actually think conservatives are going to sit home and say, well, he's too moderate. I'm going to stay home and I'm going to take my chances with 4 year more years of Obama, knowing that he's going to destroy this country? He told the Russian guy.
Well, you see, Gregory, I think you're speaking from the perspective of Texas as a Texan. And Texas is a great state, probably one of the best states in the country. I love Texans. I get along with Texans, even though we don't speak the same language. I have to have a translator when I speak with a subscript. But truthfully, most Americans are a little confused about Romney, and they don't even know the difference between him and Obama on so many important issues. That I think, needs to be articulated, frankly, and that's what Romney needs to do, and I don't think he's doing it. So I'm asking the listeners again, and if you haven't been able to get through, there's a line that just opened at 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. Do we have the other speech by Chris Christie yet? Or play what you do have. This is Chris Christie speaking about Jerry Brown at the convention.
The Jersey decided to take a risk on a conservative Republican governor in a blue state. And California made a bad choice by going with an old retread who, let me tell you this, I cannot believe you people elected Jerry Brown over Meg Whitman. Now, listen, I don't want to be insulting this morning because it's early, and I got plenty of time to be insulting the rest of the day, but I want to tell you, Jerry Brown, I mean, he won the New Jersey presidential primary over Jimmy Carter when I was 14 years old.
Well, there's more coming in a while. You see, Chris Christie is the man that we actually would love to see at the top of the ticket right now. Plain speaking, gutsy, says it like it is, doesn't mince words. God, are we dying for someone like Chris Christie? But all they did was give him a slot at the convention. They didn't even give the man the vice presidential slot. Now, we understand that they may have offered it to him and he may have rejected it for fear that Romney would lose and he'd have to give up his governorship. I've read all of that. But look, I'm not at the convention and I'm not going to be at the convention. As I said earlier, I'd rather spend 14 days, 2 weeks cruising Opa-Locka in a 78 sedan with a dragging tailpipe shooting sparks, listening to 8 tracks of Mantovani, swigging Lest Oil from the bottle and sniffing furniture polish, than listen to one politician at a political convention. That's why I'm on the radio here in California. I'm Michael Savage.
Savage.
Sit at the National Governors Association with this guy and have him come up to me and say, Governor Christie, stop telling people that I want to raise taxes. I'm not trying to raise taxes. And I said, yeah, you are, Jerry. And he said, no, Chris, I'm not. I'm going to put it on the ballot and let the people decide. Man, that's leadership, isn't it?
See, that's what we need. This guy could walk all over Obama in a debate. He would crush him. And the problem is that Romney's a little bit of a wimp, too much of a nice guy. I think he takes the Bible literally and turns the other cheek so many times there are no cheeks left to turn. That's it. He's just too nice a guy. And that's the problem. You have an extremist in Obama and a, I don't know, a moderate guy in Romney. And people are afraid of moderate in a time like this. Nevertheless, okay, what's the choice here? See, this is not a normal Democrat-Republican campaign. This is a socialist-slash-communist versus Republican campaign. That hasn't been articulated by the Republicans. If John F. Kennedy were alive today, he'd be considered a right-winger by today's Democrat Party movement to the left. Do you understand that? I've said this for over 10 years. If JFK were alive, they wouldn't even let him in the Democrat Party. They'd call him an extremist because he loved America too much. They wouldn't even let him in the Democrat Party. He would never be a Democrat. JFK could never be a Democrat. Now, these are the kind of words that can be polished a bit and used by Romney during the campaign. I have terrible fears about the debate for a couple of reasons. Look at the left-wing fanatics and operatives they've selected to be the moderators. There's not one conservative moderator. Now, how did the Republicans permit that? It's a setup. See, again, I go back to my primary fear is that Romney's a fall guy. He may not even know it. Why do I say that? Look at his campaign, number one. Number two, his chief campaign advisor voted for Obama in 2008. You don't know that, but now you know it. Number three, the Republicans did not have to accept that baggy-eyed Bolshevik Jim Lehrer as a moderator. Again, the very same sub rosa leftists again are going to be moderating this debate? How? How is it possible? Why was there not one conservative moderator picked for any of the debates? How did the Republicans let that happen? There's only one answer to that. They wanted left-wing operatives like the baggy-eyed Bolshevik, Jim Lehrer, to be one of them, and the others whose names I don't even remember. They're all far-left fanatics in the media, and yet they're going to moderate. You know what questions are going to be asked. They're going to make Obama look good and Romney look bad. They're going to bring up tax returns. They're not going to bring up college transcripts. They're not going to bring up illegal aliens because that would embarrass both candidates. It's sickening. Sickening. But you see, if Romney was a skilled orator, he wouldn't even need their questions to get in the answers that he wants. Because no matter what they asked me, I wouldn't answer the question. I would do a Reagan on them. I would smile and say, that's a very interesting perspective, but that's not the question. Here's the question I'm going to answer. And then they would interrupt him and say, but Mr. Romney, we're the moderator. You have to answer our questions. I'd smile at him and say, well, you see, but you're not running for president, sir. I am. And this is far more important than your agenda. And so here's the question I'm going to answer. America would jump to its feet. They would thank God we had a man with more than two legs in his pants, to be perfectly blunt, and pardon the burlesque. Play the Mantovani music for a breather right now, since I mentioned Mantovani a few times. Go ahead, a little Mantovani. 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 I thought you said you had Mantovani music. What'd you set me up for? What is this? This is Mantovani? Is this from the movie? Play Misty for me. Oh, it stinks. Turn it off. That's not the kind of Mantovani music I was referring to when I would say I'd rather spend 2 weeks cruising Opel Oka in a 78 sedan with a tailpipe dragging sparks listening to 8 tracks of Mantovani. That's not what I had in mind. Even in my parody, I wouldn't listen to that. Anyone ever swig less toil in the youth? I didn't. Did anyone ever sniff furniture polish other than the campaign advisors for Obama? I didn't. But I know that there are people who are Democrats today who had lots of fuzzy hair when they were working as campaign advisors at NYU. You, here we are. So what do you want to talk about? Have we done enough Romney and Obama, or could we go on now to something more important? Do we have any callers from anywhere in America other than the normal? What's in the news? Let me go to my website and see what I put up on my website today. Isaac's Eerie Path. Storm is following Katrina's track. GOP attacks Obama, rain or shine. That's the CNN headline. Ooh. Oh, you mean they're not allowed to attack Obama? What is he, sacred? What is he, a saint? What is he, an emperor? What is he, the Pope? What do you mean the GOP attacks Obama? Isn't that what you'd expect after being kicked in the teeth by Obama's minions?
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're celebrating Neil Armstrong's great feat back in 1969, one of the greatest of Americans, from Apollo 11 to Apocalypse Now under Obama is what we're talking about. And I've asked you a question of what does Romney need to do in order to come out ahead during the campaign and especially during the debates. And I don't know, we're getting answers here and there. If you want to join the conversation, you can do so, as I suggested. And, of course, you know, it's all guesstimates. I didn't think Isaac was going to hit Tampa, and I was right. You know, now it's saying it's a second Katrina. You know, they always like to panic you. Every day is another panic machine released by the media. It was going to hit Tampa, then it wasn't going to hit Tampa, then it verged. At last minute, it did a maneuver, a Tai Chi. The storm did a Tai Chi that was unexpected, and it switched, and now it's bearing down on New Orleans, and everyone's leaving. I mean, what are they? We got loose screws in the media that think you believe everything they tell you? 1-800-449-8255. What must Romney do? Ann in Portland, Oregon, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I would like to see Romney put on his businessman suit and to draw on his proven track record at turning businesses around, to treat this country as a business where the shareholders, I want to see a prospectus. I want to see specifics, not vagaries.
Well, that's very well and good, but the country is not a business. It's a nation which has a soul and a heartbeat of its own. And although I agree with you up to a point, I believe that we need a candidate who talks about the soul of America rather than treat the country as just an accounting sheet. Thank you for the call. As I've pointed out in book after book, we need an inspirational leader, somebody to inspire us with regard to our citizenry, regard to the greatness of our nation, respect for the past, hope for the future, hold up some of the great figures from the past as examples of who we should be looking backwards to in order to look forward. We need leadership, not just an accountant. Obama, of course, has neither a characteristic. He is neither a leader nor a businessman. He is a complete and total product of the media. He is a total product of the media. He's an invention. He is a complete and total invention. That's what Romney needs to say. You're an invention. What have you ever done? See, if Romney said, you know, you may criticize me, Mr. President, but at the end of the day, what have you ever done? Have you ever created a good or a service that anyone's ever needed? Come on! That's the kind of stuff we need to hear. New York, WOR, Sergey, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. It's Sergey. You just asked what Romney has to show to American people. I used to be not a very strong supporter, but supporter of Obama. And I tell you what really actually turned me away from Obama. In 2009, when Obama was on his tour to Muslim countries, there was a picture on media showing him bowing down to and kissing a hand of King of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, King Fahd. He kissed King Fahd's hand. That's right. The RNC should be running that picture.
I was really shocked because in Saudi Arabia said 19 of his citizens to blow up a World Trade Center. Right. And he's the man, he's the president of the United States who bowing down to, you know, to the king who's basically sending his people.
All right. So why don't the Republicans show those pictures of him bowing down to the king?
Everywhere
this man has gone. Have you noticed he's bowed down to dictators around the world? Have you seen that?
Well,
all right, thanks for the call. Well, I think I have the explanation. Here's a study that just came out, which is shocking that they'd even publish it. Headline, teen pot use linked to later declines in IQ. Teen pot use linked to later declines in IQ. Now, we know Mitt Romney never smoked marijuana, but we know from Obama's own autobiography, he loved this stuff. That could explain it. Teens who routinely smoke marijuana risk a long-term drop in their IQ, a new study suggests. The researchers didn't find the same IQ dip for people who became frequent users of pot after 18. So I think one of the campaign questions should be, Mr. Candidate, have you ever used marijuana? Romney would say no, because he's clean living. And they'd say, Mr. President, at what age did you start using marijuana? So if he says after 18, we can breathe a sigh of relief. But if, God forbid, Obama was using pot at Punahou earlier than 18, we're in trouble. Study participants from New Zealand were tested for IQ at age 13. Da-da-da-da-da. Who can read this garbage? I don't know. But we know pot's the most dangerous of all drugs. I've told you that over and over again. Pot is the most dangerous of all drugs because the fact of the matter is it's a gateway drug. It leads children into the world of subterfuge, hiding, sneaking, etc. Now, the argument would be, okay, well, then make it legal and they won't hide and sneak it. Well, you want to say the same thing about prostitution? That every daughter should become a prostitute? She doesn't have to hide and sneak away. And what are you people, crazy? I think reefer madness should be required watching in high school. I think every child should be forced to watch Reefer Madness. You'd have modern actors in it if you want. People who started using marijuana persistently before 18 risk losing some of their IQ by the time they're 38. Yeah, but under Obamacare, they can stay at home with mommy at least till 26. Remember Nancy Pelosi said that because of Obamacare now, we can cover children till they're 26? Children, you hear this? Maybe if he gets a second term, they could raise Obamacare and call you a child at 38 to help you get through the doldrums of marijuana use. I think 26 is too early to cut off people from Obamacare. I think that children should be allowed to just test themselves, explore, see what they want to do with their lives till they're 38, 39, 40. Stay at home with a hairnet, go clubbing all night, get a government check. I think that there should be government checks for clubbing in Obama's second regime. I think they should cut checks to children who live at home with parents to, up to the age of 40. You got to cut it off at some time. But there should be a little stipend, a little extra, a little kick for the clubbing at night and things of that nature. Because, it's expensive to go to clubs today. New York, WOR, Daniel, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I think Romney needs to reinstate NASA. This is like the biggest blow. This is the greatest organization in the history of the world. And
why am I the only talk show host who's been talking about it? I wrote a book with a whole chapter on it. Obama castrated NASA, destroyed NASA, has put our astronauts on as passengers on a Russian spacecraft. Do you know that? He's turned our space explorers into second-class citizens. He's made our astronauts ride the back of the Russian bus.
Well, this is sickening. And
Romney needs to say is, Mr. President, why did you make our astronauts ride in the back of a Russian bus to the moon? Why did you do that? You should explain that to the American people. He'd bring the house down. Don't you agree with me?
Absolutely, Michael. He's got...
All right, well, I don't want to go on and on because most people, if you ask them what the most important thing in their life, they don't even know what NASA is. They think it's a sort of suntan lotion. They'll say, is it NASA 15 or NASA 17? They would think it's like SPF. They have no idea what NASA means. They're so ignorant of what's actually going on that NASA, to the average American, has no priority whatsoever. Space, schmace, space. So, I don't know. It's a rough call right now. I'm shocked, though, that Florida seniors have warmed up to the Romney-Ryan ticket. And they say it's about benefits because, as you well know, seniors care only about themselves. And, well, who doesn't? But at the end of the day, but seniors care more only about themselves than most. Medicare, Medicaid is all they care about. The bennies. So they have enough money left over for the gambling casinos. Look, you can't ask a senior to spend their own money in a gambling casino. You got to give them as much freebies as you can so they can go to Atlantic City, an Indian gambling casino, and sit there with a cigarette in their mouth and a cup, throwing quarters or whatever they throw into the machines. I mean, that's a noble retirement for an American, isn't it? To work all your life to sit in front of a machine with a handle. That's the sine qua non of civilization, to go to a gambling casino at age 75. But, since it's a nation of free choice, if that's what you want to do with your life, you can do it. I just think the government should consider giving you a stipend, a gambling stipend. Maybe they think Romney's going to give them an Indian gambling casino stipend. Then if I'm elected, I will give each of you $100 a month to gamble with. I don't know why they've moved over to Romney. You know what I think? When you say people, then I'm, of course I know that there's more than just you. But aren't they a predominant number of voter queens primarily? End of the day, what do you think happened down there? They know that Obama is probably sympathetic towards Muslims. How would they figure that out? Let's start with kissing the hand of the king. Let us start with spitting in the face of Netanyahu. Let us start with bringing about an Islamic revolution in the Arab Crescent. You know, I mean, they're not stupid. They didn't become seniors living on the grift by being dumb. How do you think they hit 75 and aren't working, haven't worked for 30 years? How do you think they did it? They're not all dumb. They know how to work the system. They learned it in the old days. So the thing is, they're not stupid. They know what's good, you know. So they have likes and dislikes. Are you finally awakening to the fact that I'm talking to you on the Savage Nation today? I'm going to have a whole week of this. I'll go insane by Thursday till he actually speaks. Today is Monday. They didn't even give a speech yet. The only one who gave a speech so far was Chris Christie that we had. Kind of good bashing Jerry Brown. At least somebody understands what Moonbeam has done to California. Play Chris Christie, both of them, back to back.
The Jersey decided to take a risk on a conservative Republican governor in a blue state. And California made a bad choice by going with an old retread who, let me tell you this, I cannot believe you people elected Jerry Brown over Meg Whitman. Now, listen, I don't want to be insulting this morning because it's early, and I got plenty of time to be insulting the rest of the day, but I want to tell you, Jerry Brown, I mean, he won the New Jersey presidential primary over Jimmy Carter when I was 14 years old. And now I got to sit at the National Governors Association with this guy and have him come up to me and say, Governor Christie, stop telling people that I want to raise taxes. I'm not trying to raise taxes. And I said, yeah, you are, Jerry. And he said, no, Chris, I'm not. I'm going to put it on the ballot and let the people decide. Man, that's leadership, isn't it?
So, good speech, but you know, there's a reason we in California didn't elect Meg Whitman. Even those of us who didn't vote for Jerry Brown were very, very disenamored of Meg Whitman. Do you know why? Exactly why I fear Romney will lose. Do you know that Romney's campaign is being managed almost in an identical manner to that of Meg Whitman and Carly Fiorina? Do you know that? Middle of the road, not one word about the horde of illegal aliens sucking the state and country dry. Not one word about issues that are important to voters. It's all about personality, and elect me because I have business experience. It's a disastrous campaign. It's been the worst campaign I've ever seen in my life. And that's why he hasn't surged ahead of a candidate who was the most unpopular, divisive president in modern American history. I have to repeat it over and over again until you finally understand the bad shape that Romney really is in. Doesn't mean I'm not going to vote for him. I will, but I've got to tell you something now. I'm going to say it again and again. Praying to God that somebody wakes up Romney to the fact that his campaign advisor running him off the rails. They're running his campaign almost point for point the way they ran Whitman's campaign, and she lost by a huge margin to this throwback, Jerry Brown. Why did she lose? She should have won. The conservatives in the state begged Whitman to take on the most important issues of the day, taxes, illegal immigration. She wouldn't do it. She thought just smiling and telling us about her success story would be enough because that's what the idiot advisors told her. And Romney's doing exactly the same thing. Do you understand why I'm worried? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Mrs. Romney, I noticed that there's no staff here. No cooks, no maids.
No. Nope.
Why not?
You know, Mitt and I are pretty independent. That's how we like it. We like to do our own things. I think Mitt ironed his own shirt this morning. I noticed he was doing the laundry last night.
Oh, my God. They're committing Harry Carey in front of our eyes. I've never seen a more poorly orchestrated campaign in my life. America's screaming out for a leader, and they're putting the wife on saying he ironed his own shirt and he did laundry this morning. Now, let me ask you something. I want to ask you something. Does that engender confidence in Mitt Romney to know that he ironed his own shirt and did the laundry this morning? Do you like him more or less? I give up. I'm telling you, Either they're that stupid or they're throwing the election. How's that? You want me to say it again? I'll say it till you finally hear me. Look, I'm known as an independent in the radio business. I've been independent since 94 when I started, before anyone even knew what it was. We know that Romney is not a conservative, but we're going to vote for him on the assumption that we're going to get something for our money. But when you start hearing them throwing the election to Ann Romney, here, you take it now, Ann, to show how nice he really is. Tell us what he did. Oh, well, let's see. Ironed the shirt, and he did the laundry this morning. Okay, I got to vote for that guy. You know, any man who irons his own shirt, any guy who does the laundry, that's my kind of leader. Forget China and Russia. We need a guy who can do the laundry. Forget a guy who can stand up to Putin or the president of China, if you want to call him a president, the dictator of China. Forget a guy who might be able to stand up to the Islamists who are shooting our troops in the back. No, we need a guy who wears an apron at night and does the laundry. That's what we need. See, she's reinforcing the stereotype. She's reinforcing the stereotype of a guy who wears an apron at home. You remember that movie? I don't know if anyone ever saw this movie. It's been played so many times, doesn't matter what generation you're from. Rebel Without a Cause. Do anyone remember that movie with James Dean? It's very famous if you're a film buff, right? It's an interesting story I'm about to tell you. I won't bore you too much with it. I'll bore you just a little. I'll give you a little bore. In that movie, Rebel Without a Cause, it's about a teenager who's a rebel. And he's rebelling, and no one knows why he's a rebel. And somewhere in the middle of this brilliant script, they show his father wearing an apron, played by Jim Backus, who was a super actor. And the kid goes out disgusted. He throws the milk down and runs out of the house to go get drunk and drive around up in the planetarium in the L.A. Hills. What was the metaphor there? What were they trying to say? That the rebel of the 50s was rebelling against the milquetoast father. He had no father anymore. The father disappeared. He became like a Schmendrick wearing an apron. A weak father. Nice father. Jim Backus was a nice enough man as a character. The father of James Dean in that movie, right? The James Dean character. But he was a weakling, so the son hated his guts. Sons want strong fathers. I don't know if you know this. Sons don't want a father who wears an apron. Sons really don't care if you iron your shirts. Okay, if you do it, that's a different generation today, I understand. It's not a big deal to throw laundry into a machine. But it's not something you boast about. It's something that's collateral to your existence. It's something secondary. I'd rather that Ann Romney said that, well, Mitt was out at the range this morning practicing with his Winchester. Because Mitt still likes that old single lever, that lever action rifle of his, which his dad gave him when he was a boy in a farm in Michigan. Ah, you're talking. We don't want to hear he's wearing an apron and doing the laundry. Am I making sense to you finally? No, no one's listening to me. They're listening to Meatloaf Jr. If ever I heard like a government, you know, it's like the equivalent of the Democrats. So, I don't see any servants around here. How come that is, Mrs. Romney? Gee, I wonder who wrote that question for that little twerp. He's not one of my favorite broadcasters. I don't like his eyes, incidentally. I didn't like his father. I don't like him. I don't like him even more, incidentally. Meatloaf Jr., I call him, whatever his name is. What's his name? I don't even know what name he goes by. What's his name? Chris Walachensky. You know him as Chris Wallace. I affectionately call him Meatloaf Jr. because his father, may he rest in peace, as you well know, was arrested in New York City because he threw a takeout meatloaf job at a guy giving him a ticket. And they never heard from him again. Then Meatloaf Jr. suddenly becomes a big star on Fox News. He's got weasel eyes, like weaselly eyes. I don't trust him. I don't like guys with weasel eyes. But all right, that's neither here nor there. I don't like people who wear aprons and do their laundry running for the presidency. Maybe for the PTA.
Seven.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here is some of the audio that we've culled for you today on the Savage Nation. Let's take a long moment to remember one of the greatest of Americans, Neil Armstrong, the first man on the moon. Look how far we've fallen from Neil Armstrong to Barack Obama.
Okay, Neil, we can see you coming down the ladder now. I'm at the foot of the ladder. The lamb footbeds are only depressed in the surface about 1 or 2 inches. I'm going to step off the lamb now. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
And here is R. Lee Ermey, an actor, fired for talking negatively about Obama.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Does a former drill sergeant make a terrible therapist?
And that's why yellow makes me sad, I think.
That's interesting. You know what makes me sad?
You do! Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
This is what he said.
The economy really sucks. Now, I hate to point fingers at anybody, but the present administration probably has a lot to do with that. And the way I see it, they're not going to quit doing it until they bring this country to its knees. We should stop this administration from what they're doing because they're destroying this country. They're driving us into bankruptcy so that they can impose socialism on us, and that's exactly what they're doing. And I'm sick and damn tired of it, and I know you are too. But I know that the Marine Corps is going to be here forever. This administration won't. Semper Fi. God bless you all.
Now we have for you the opening of the Republican National Committee, convention, whatever.
Ladies and gentlemen, by the authority contained in the rules adopted by the 2008 Republican National Convention, the Republican National Committee has directed that the 2012 Republican National Convention be held in Tampa, Florida, starting at 2 o'clock p.m. on the 27th day of August, 2012. So it is my privilege to proclaim the 2012 Republican National Convention in session and called to order. The chair announces, pursuant to Clause 12, paren B, paren 1 of Rule 1 of the Rules of the House of Representatives, the 2012 Republican National Convention stands in recess, subject to the call of the chair.
Obama is saying Romney is extreme. That's clever.
I can't speak to Governor Romney's motivations. What I can say is that he has signed up for positions, extreme positions, that are very consistent with the positions that a number of House Republicans have taken. If you're a voter and you believe that the biggest problem we have is that the president has put too many regulations in place to keep our air clean and our water clean, if you believe that the way to reduce the deficit is to gut our investments in education and cut taxes for wealthy individuals, then you should feel confident that Governor Romney is going to follow through on those commitments. I just don't think they'll work.
Here is Mitnan Romney interviewed by the son of Meatloaf, whatever his name is.
Do you give your husband advice?
Not on policy.
Do you give advice on strategy? Do you give advice on staff?
Poor Mitt. He gets advice from everybody, even me.
I was going to say, I didn't know she didn't give advice on policy.
Yeah, I might weigh in on that, too, sometimes. I think that's important that distinction is made that it's federal funding. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be a Planned Parenthood. He and Paul are going to get to Washington, and they are going to balance this budget, and they're going to have to be made. There's going to be cuts. There's going to be cuts made to a lot of programs people aren't going to like. Whenever I introduce or talk to, especially fundraising groups, I'll look out and I'll see everyone's looking like they're doing pretty well here. I'm like, guess what, guys? We're not running for you. We're running for those folks that are really worried about how they're going to have a paycheck, or they're really worried about how they're going to be able to afford to educate their children. That's what we're running for.
All I can do is be who I am. Remember that Popeye line, I am what I am, and that's all what I am? And I'm doing my very best to try and get this country back on track.
Here are some of the questions we've been covering today. Does the Republican convention matter anymore? Does it matter to you? Do you plan to watch any of it? Do you care about any of the speeches? I mean, this goes for the Democrats as well. Have you ever been to a political convention? What's it really like? Isn't it just a big party for the apparatchiks? What real news stories will the media be covering up this week as a result of saturation coverage of the convention? Rat boy Johnny Jihad wants to pray with other Muslims in prison. He says his civil rights are being violated. Tell that to the men who were killed by Johnny Ratboy and his Muslim friends back in Afghanistan. There's some disturbing stories today on michaelsavage.com. One of the most disturbing is that Muslims are torturing dogs and beating children in Afghanistan. And that's one of the reasons they're shooting our troops. That's right. Our troops are so sickened by these barbarians and their torture of dogs and puppies and their beating of children and mistreatment of women that they're telling them to stop it. And what's happening is they're being shot in the back. And what's the army doing? The army is covering it up. The army is covering up Islam in action in Afghanistan. That's a big story. Also on michaelsavage.com is the only book you'll ever need to stop Obama. If enough people read it, believe me, we can win the election for the tepid Romney, who is better than what we got on the other side. Trickle Down Tyranny, available everywhere and on Amazon. My newsletter says Obama the communist keeps spreading his lies. Obama's busy tearing down America while crazy leftists keep attacking a congressman for something stupid he said about rape, Savage complained. They're ignoring all of the really big problems. How about the Russian submarine that snuck into the Gulf of Mexico without detection? What about the hundreds of thousands of rounds of hollow point ammunition the government is stockpiling? What about the millions of illegal aliens who are feeding at the trough in America? Or the trillions of dollars in deficit? Meanwhile, Obama the communist keeps spreading his lies, as I pointed out in my book, Trickle Down Tyranny. You better buy it for a friend before we lose all of our constitutional rights. Obama accuses the GOP of spending more money than you've ever seen to get elected and criticizes folks writing $10 million checks to the Republican Party. But what about rich, powerful, fanatical Hollywood donors, Mr. President? What about all those illegals you're trying to register, Mr. President? What about the millions that Harvey Weinstein has raised for you, Mr. President? It turns out that the illegal immigrants are bringing in contagious diseases to America, such as West Nile virus, not to mention the crime. Now, I've been invited to broadcast from the Republican convention. I didn't go. You know why? Because if I went, I would have no impact. They might as well put me into Siberia. This is Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Wait, hang on before I go. You know, I hate seeing my electric meter spinning around like some crazed hamster wheel. Running the AC is like watching dollar bills fly out of poorly insulated windows. It costs thousands to replace windows, but for a fraction of the cost, you can put gorgeous energy-saving solar shades over your windows from Blinds.com. Blinds.com saves my listeners and me in so many ways. They offer a huge selection of designer blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes at prices lower than Lowe's and Home Depot. By posting free online how-to videos that make transforming any room in about 20 minutes very easy and by yourself. Listen, by making measuring so utterly goof-proof that even if you mismeasure, which is next to impossible, they'll remake it for free. Get free color samples, free shipping, no sales tax in most states, plus expert installers if you need one. Save an extra 20% on top brands through July 31st at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, where prices absolutely crush home improvement stores. Don't be blind. Go to Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Did you get it? Blinds.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I was stumbling around the internet this morning in a sort of internet stupor. And I stumbled upon this from the Independent in the UK. Asexuals, the fourth sexual orientation. Around 1% of the world's population is reckoned to feel no sexual attraction at all. Now, it can give to immediate jokes right off the bat. We can declare, all liberal. No, but that would be crazy. It's not about politics here. But apparently, we see nothing but sex, currency of sex, everywhere you turn. 50% of the internet, are sexual, of the sexual nature. And yet there's 1% of the population have a fourth sexual orientation, asexuals. They call it an understudied population. And they say people who are in our society in very sexualized culture feel like there's something wrong with them. Asexuality is defined as a complete lack of sexual attraction. There are many, many jokes we can come up with here, but we're not going to do it. There are two forms of people. People who have some level of sex drive, but don't direct this drive towards others, so they may self-pleasure themselves. And other people who have no sex drive whatsoever. We could say they would be all of the, well, let's stop right there because I can tell five jokes in a row. I could ask you, are you asexual? I'd like to hear from someone out there who says, yes, thank God someone has finally talked about that. I thought it's an interesting topic, don't you? Here's another one. Study says less religious states give less to charity. Duh. Of course, Republicans give more to charity. Democrats are cheap. The only charity that Democrats generally give to is a Democrat party. To them, that's the charity. Of the 10 least generous states, 9 voted for the Democrat Barack Obama for president in the last election. By contrast, of the 10 most generous states, 8 voted for Republican John McCain. The most generous state was Utah, where residents gave 10.6% of their discretionary income. Why? Because it's largely Mormon. They're good people. At the bottom of the list, you know where they are. Mainly the butterfly ballot people. I would say Boca Raton would have the lowest donation in history. The lowest donation of any would be people who live in Boca Raton who steal sweet and low from early bird dinners. I would say that they would be the least. In other words, where Obama is the most popular, you'd have the least giving to any charity. People who earn $200,000 a year give a greater percentage to charity when they live in zip codes with fewer people who are as wealthy as they are. I can't follow all the details. All I know is that Democrats are generally cheap. That's what I found. They tip less, and they give very little except to Democrat causes. They generally drive cheap cars. They have bad teeth, and they have bad shoes. That's what I have found. They look like Larry David after a hangover. If you know, we carry around an image of a person, of a type. So when you say Republican, if you're a progressive, you have an image. I don't know what it is. David Duke, probably. Adolf Hitler with a blonde wig. I have no idea. But to a conservative like myself, when I say progressive liberal, I think of a younger Larry David with very bad teeth, terrible shoes, probably old Birkenstocks that are worn out, that have been resold, and halitosis, if I say progressive. And I know he gives nothing to charity. I mean, intuitively, I would know. Cheap, tipper, like forget about it time. Beverly Hills, nobody probably wants to wait on this guy. Okay, so they don't give. They just don't give. All they do is they give to the Democrat Party. To them, that's the number one charity. That's if you want to move off the terminal illness thing. Today is Monday. Lighten up already. Easy does it. One day at a time. Life is good. People are wonderful. Businesses. Give me a bumper sticker. Give me a car. Give me a car license plate sticker. No one has them anymore except stupid leftover liberals. I see the idiots here in Bay Area of San Francisco still driving around with Obama, Biden, 08 to show they're real members of the CPUSA. Oh, yeah, I've been a member of the CPUSA for a long time. It's inherent in my DNA. I'm riding around with that Obama bumper sticker from 2008 to show you how progressive liberal I am. I'm so far out. Obama, Biden, 08. No matter what Biden says, no matter what crookery Obama's accused of or found to have done, Obama, Biden, 08. Right. Cut you off from the right lane, give you the finger. So we got a mayor in New York who bans cans of mother's milk, soda, trans fat, salt. And now he wants to flood America with illegal aliens and says that they're not coming over the border anymore. Astounding. Then you have Murdoch, who was so insulting, it was frightening. How anybody could work for that madman, I don't understand. Murdoch, who owns Fox News, had the nerve to say, there are a small group of nativists. It wouldn't take much courage to run right over them for any Republican and ignore the nativists. Are you crazy? What in the world is this man thinking? Nativists, a small number of them? I don't think there's a small number of them. In fact, I would say that in the state of California, by every poll I've seen, even legitimate citizen Democrats who are Democrat liberals, are opposed to the flood of illegal aliens in the state who have decimated the state's social services, wrecked it, destroyed it. The schools are a wreckage. They used to be number one. They're now number 37. The hospitals are a wreckage. The illegals are sucking the hospitals dry. But you don't read it. You don't hear it. You don't say it. So it doesn't exist. You're wrong. It does exist. It is a reality here. It's a horrible reality. And I know many people who are earning over $200,000 a year legitimately who are talking about leaving California. Who is going to be left here? Facebook founder Zuckerberg? Well, they better start taxing him real soon because there may be nothing left in a few more months. So let's go to the callers. Callers. What else do you want to talk about? I mean, I'm mixing it up here. Mix and match. Max and Mitch. Mix and match. Mitch and Max. Match and mix. Have you gone to michaelsavage.com over the weekend and been a good girl? Have you seen the cute picture of me in high school? Did you like the way I looked in high school with my gun? This is my rifle. This is my gun. I'm not allowed to finish that little poem on the show. It's on the bottom of michaelsavage.com. You could see what I was like as a young teenager. Would you have liked me if you were in high school? See me? I said some head of hair I had on me. Unbelievable. Michael on his high school rifle team from his forthcoming book, Train Tracks, October 2012, HarperCollins. Yeah, you should. You're going to love that book. I got new pictures in there. The publisher's kind of fooling my picture's not on the book. It's just a picture of a train going through the snow.
Savage.
You know, there are two legal cases still going on, which the media has kind of ignored completely, totally. Number one is the Fort Hood massacre by Nidal Hassan. You remember him, the Muslim major, Allah Akbar, that fella, and the Zimmerman trial. Joining us now on the Savage Nation to talk about these cases is Paul Samico with an update. Okay, first of all, what's going on with the Zimmerman case?
Hi, Michael. Thank you so much for having me on today. We've got the continuing issues surrounding George Zimmerman. This is the gentleman whose bullet killed Trayvon Martin. George Zimmerman, of course, is the neighborhood watch supervisor down there in Florida. The issues, of course, are whether or not he was going to be protected by Florida's Stand Your Ground laws, which allow, I guess, a self-defense claim to be one that would be victorious and he would be found not guilty. But we have been following this for months and months and months. This is kind of like the Energizer Bunny. It just keeps on ticking. And so here this case now has a couple more new wrinkles. The first of those is the motion by George Zimmerman's lawyers to get rid of the judge, to have the judge remove himself from the case. Now, you'll recall the back-and-forth issues with the bond, the bail bond for George Zimmerman, where we had this long hearing where George Zimmerman testified and his wife testified about how they didn't have any money, and they were let out on a pretty flimsy, pretty low amount of bond. Later it came to light that George Zimmerman, of course, had a website that was posted to help him with his legal defense fund, where he had some, I think it was $300,000 that was donated to him. So they had another bond hearing where the judge made numerous comments.
Well, like what?
He had commented in that hearing that he believed that Zimmerman, when they found out that he also had a second passport, was going to be using his ill-gotten gains from this website donation proposition, might be a plan to flee the country. Well, the judge also indicated that he felt that Zimmerman was flouting the system. The word flout was a big word in the motion for the defense, offering that they felt that the judge now was bent against Zimmerman, that his comments using the word flout in a conversation, a context that the Zimmerman was allegedly trying to manipulate the system, the defense for Zimmerman is claiming that the judge's comments were egregious and that a fair trial is impossible. Well, the judge has said, no, I'm not removing myself, so it remains to be seen if a motion that will be made appealing that decision. The other interesting part about this Zimmerman trial now, the prosecution has asked for copies of all of Zimmerman's prior medical records. And, I mean, again, I'm not a practitioner of criminal law. I've done criminal law during my career as an attorney. I perceive this to be a very reasonable subpoena that was sent so they could see Zimmerman's prior medical history. It certainly might include psychiatric issues, if there are any to be seen. Of course, as would be expected, the defense is screaming that, no, this is irrelevant. This has nothing to do with the trial or the issues that the court has to decide in the trial, and numerous objections have been made to the subpoena. So again, we will continue to watch this and just see how this plays out. As it does, eventually we're going to get to a trial perhaps and see whether or not that stand your ground defense will prevail, or whether Zimmerman will be convicted of the murder of Trayvon Martin.
And what's going on with the Muslim shooter at the Fort Hood massacre? Why is he not being tried?
The Fort Hood shooting is another very interesting trial that has raised a question that I think most would look at it and say, you've got to be kidding. The Fort Hood trial, just by way of background quickly for you here, Michael, we know that the Major Nidal Hassan in 2009 went to the Fort Hood, Texas Army Post on a shooting rampage, killed 13 people, and more than two dozen people were wounded on that occasion. Well, Major Hassan is of the Muslim religion, and he has taken to growing a beard, a very, very long beard, and he is claiming that he believes that he is going to lose the trial and that he will be convicted and that he will be sentenced to death. And when he dies, he does not want to be clean-shaven before his maker, and that this is in contrast to his religious beliefs.
Hmm.
Well, the issue is that the judge in the trial has told him to shave his beard, and that if he didn't, he was going to have it shaved for him, because military regulations do not allow a defendant, or anybody for that matter, in a military tribunal to come in with that type of facial hair. Very, very interesting. The case has been postponed. The trial was supposed to have started this week, and it's not going to. It's being put on hold until, I guess, Wednesday of this week, when an appeals court is going to consider Hassan's objections to being forcibly shaved.
Unbelievable.
Now, for the record, the military has shaved other people in the past. They will do this in a manner where everything will be videotaped so that there can be no objections about the type of force that's being used, but they have lined up five people, military individuals, who will forcibly hold Hassan down and shave him if he resists. I understand they're going to be using electric clippers, so it's not like they're going to be using straight edge that could cut him if his face were to turn violently or erratically or something like that. And they're also going to have in attendance some type of medical person that will be there just in the off situation that he has some injury as a result of being shaved. Again, my belief here is that this falls into that category of you've got to be kidding.
Exactly.
If I were Hassan, I guess I would be doing everything I could possibly do to avoid the trial, because that's just that much longer that I have the possibility of being alive. He does face the death penalty. He also faces life in prison without parole if he is convicted. And it's interesting to note that realistically, his argument really doesn't hold water, because if he is convicted of the death penalty, convicted and is given the death penalty, the appeal process would be such that by the time the appeals run out, if the conviction is upheld, he could grow a beard from here to the kitchen sink and back. It's also interesting to note that the military death row inmates, I would offer, none have been executed since 1961. So there's a very good chance that that being taken into consideration, this appeal of his or this objection of his to being forcibly shaved, is not going anywhere. He's going to either have to do it himself or he's going to be held down and they're going to do it for him.
Where can we read more?
Well, I have a website where they can go and listen to a lot of videos that I have up there. My website address is www.samacolaw.com, and that's S-A-M-A-K-O-W-L-A-W, samacolaw.com.
Paul Samaco, thanks for being with us in the Savage Nation.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Border in a long time. I mean, we spent a fortune on technology, and if you want to come to America illegally, don't waste your time going across the border and through the desert. It's dangerous. Just get in an airplane, fly here, and overstay your visa. We have absolutely no ability to check who you are and get you back. So, and the total number of undocumented in this country has been going down for a long time.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday?
You know, you wonder how they get away with it. How does a man like Bloomberg become so rich? Welcome to the Savage Nation. Sorry, I was caught with an open mic today. I was re-listening to that tape from last week when he and Moloch of Fox News were talking about the wonders of illegal immigrants in America in a closed meeting of some kind. Both Bloomberg and Moloch want more and more illegal aliens, which is their right to want illegal aliens. They're entitled to be on the side of criminals. It's okay. But to lie about it like this and think no one is listening and you're not going to get caught is quite astonishing to me. So Mayor Bloomberg says, number one, nobody has come across the border in a long time. That is factually false. In other words, either he didn't know that or he's stupid or he lives in his own world. I don't know. He also says that most of them contribute to society. He's wrong. A report by the Center for Immigration Studies released earlier this month, citing U.S. Census data, showed that 43% of immigrants, both illegal and legal, who have been living in the U.S. for at least 20 years, were on welfare. Welfare. 43% of immigrants, legal and illegal, who have been living in the U.S. for at least 20 years, are living on welfare, Mayor. Then he goes on and says most of them aren't coming here illegally. He's wrong about that as well. We have to talk about this. I know it's boring, but the fact of the matter is he's wrong. In 2011 alone, Border Patrol, a component of the Department of Homeland Security, apprehended 327,577 illegals. How could Bloomberg not know this at the end of fiscal year 2010? DHS had attained effective control of 873 of the estimated 2,000-mile-long southwest border. But now they don't want to have any control of the border. So I have a question for the audience. I guess it's kind of unbelievable to me. How could anyone as ignorant of reality as Bloomberg, how could he be so rich? Bloomberg is more worried about Tea Party members than about illegal aliens and terrorists, it seems to me. So you want to talk about it, fine. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I could make it on a non-muckraking level. I could go from my normal exposure of idiots in high places. And by the way, that covers both sides of the aisle, mainly on the liberal side of the aisle, because most of them are on the, I would say most of them are on the take. By what I see in San Francisco, this is the most corrupt renegade gang I've ever seen in my life. The San Francisco Sacramento gang that is running California into the poorhouse. They have raped and robbed this country. They have raped and robbed this state. They are raping San Francisco. They're tearing it to shreds with a tunnel to nowhere. And nobody seems to know how to stop them. So if you like a one-party system and you think that you're a Democrat, you're mistaken. You're something other than a Democrat if you're cheering a one-party system. Take a look at the one-party system here in California. And you can tell me that they're doing the right thing here. The state is a disaster zone. And why is it a disaster zone? Because they own the newspapers. They ban Michael Savage in the local San Francisco media to make sure that my voice is not heard in the most corrupt city in the United States of America. And they rape the city itself. There's nothing left. It's bleeding. The state is bleeding. Even the Los Angeles Times, as liberal as it is, shocked me the other day when they wrote an article that the, who did they say, the teachers union, the California Teachers Union, claims that they own the state and they run the state and that Jerry Brown is their stooge. The California Teachers Association says that they have more power than Jerry Brown and he's just their stooge. That's right. He's not elected. There's some guy at the CTA who they all go to for his opinion on anything, and they've raped the state blind. The state is ripped to shreds. What would you like to talk about? Now, here's another topic that caught my eye, and I'm not, you know, just pulling your leg. Tony Scott committed suicide. Very famous director with some pretty good movies. He jumped off a bridge in Los Angeles on St. Thomas Bridge in San Pedro. I don't mean to be facetious. I didn't even know there was a bridge in Los Angeles. 12:30 Sunday afternoon, pulled up, gets out of his car, climbs a fence, jumps into L.A. Harbor. Suicide note found at his office. And this is a top-flight director. This is not a, you know, a low-life schlocko who was broke. The guy was at the top of his game. He did all the good Denzel Washington movies. He was good. He had inoperable brain cancer. So is that a reason to kill yourself? And it led me to, you know, ask myself a very difficult question. And I got to ask it of the audience because it happens. What would you do if you had a terminal illness? Would you jump off a bridge? Is that the right thing to do? Do you think jumping off a bridge is sparing his family pain? I don't believe that. It doesn't make sense to me, by the way. I believe that committing suicide is perhaps the most violent act you can commit. I don't know of a more violent act. In fact, if you're a religious person, I don't think you understand this because religion has been so beaten up in America. Most people don't know that suicide is against all of the world's major religions because God owns you. You don't own you. I know that's anathema to most people. Don't believe they own themselves. What God? They are God. Everyone's a demigod. But to the five principal religions on earth, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism, suicide is about the worst crime you can commit. It is not acceptable to any religion. It's one of the great stabilizing influences of religion, as are many of the rules of religion, incidentally. But don't tell that to the progressives who are, you know, oh, that's a whole separate story. Don't get me started on progressives. They're not progressives. They're sort of primitivists, retrogressives, whatever you want to call it. There's no progress in the progressive movement whatsoever. It's a nice word for communism. It's a nice word for what is yours is mine and what is mine is mine. It's a nice word for taking from others what they don't have themselves. But I don't want to talk about progressives as much as I want to talk about what would you do if you had were diagnosed with a terminal illness. Would you kill yourself? You think that would help your family? There are a couple of other stories out there. The gay man who attempted to kill people at the conservative group last week, the Family Research Council, also had in his pocket information about a second conservative group that he intended to shoot up. That, of course, didn't make it to your local paper because it didn't fit the agenda. The agenda was, it can't be a nice gay man like this shooting anybody. It doesn't happen. Well, it did happen. And, of course, it was not considered a terrorist act nor a hate crime. There are many other stories out there. I can't give them all to you at once. We're talking about Bloomberg and Murdoch and illegals. Now, why would Murdoch want illegal aliens in America? I could see in a way why Bloomberg wants as many illegals in the city. He needs them as kitchen workers, domestic workers, factory workers. I don't think there are many factories left. Voters, of course, always vote for liberal Democrats, as you well know. Immigrants always vote for liberal Democrats. Historically, that has been true from the beginning of this country. Immigrants always vote for liberal Democrats. They never vote for anyone who is pro-business. They never vote for anyone who is, let us say, patriotic. And so Bloomberg is a demagogue, pretended to be a conservative, but he's a liberal, certainly for sure, which to me is a dirty word. Yes, it is a dirty word. Liberalism is a dirty word because of what it's done and what it is doing to this country. That's right. That's how I see it. One man's opinion. Take it for what it is. I can't change my viewpoints. It's my religious upbringing combined with my social experiences, combined with my life experiences, which have given me my opinions, and I'm entitled to them. I don't owe you an explanation. However, if you would like one, or if you'd like to comment on anything that I have mentioned, from the subway to nowhere in San Francisco to the number of illegal aliens that were captured at the border, despite Bloomberg's protestations to the contrary. It's a strange story, a sad story, but it's a story that leads sane men to ask themselves a question. If you were diagnosed with inoperable cancer or some other horrendous terminal illness, would you jump off a bridge in order to spare your family the pain? That does not make sense to me. It does not make sense to me. I'm not saying he didn't jump, but something is wrong with the picture. I don't understand this. What would you do? I'm asking you, the listener, whatever you're doing right now. You know, it's a big country with a lot of listeners all over the country, late in summer. Maybe you don't want to think about a negative story like this. People accuse me of being negative. You know, I actually resent being called negative when I don't create the news. I report the news in my own way. I discuss the news and the scandals in my own way. I don't actually create the scandals.
Savage.